Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, we've had a busy 2 hours, and we've got another 2 hours to come right now. And yes, we're glad to be here. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon with me today. Dr. Samara Umat is not going to be here today or next Saturday, but I do believe after that, she will once again become pretty much a regular right here on Leading Edge Medicine. We're quite happy about that as we get through some of the worst of the COVID-19 nonsense and hassles and all of that good stuff. Let me just put out the number here real quickly. This is live call-in radio. And if you have a question for Dr. Mixon, all you have to do is call us at 1-888-312-5757, 1-888-312-5757, and anything goes. We hope you will do that. I think, Jerry, you did this a couple of hours ago to start off the first hour of the four-hour show. Why don't you just do a little recap? We're not going to take the whole
on the COVID?
Here. On the COVID, yes.
All right. Well, we've learned a whole lot about it. The things we thought we knew a few months ago, most of them have turned out not to be true.
That's for sure.
The expert opinion is evolving. But, you know, that's one of the things that I wish people understood. Remember, I have said on this show several times that the honest scientist is as willing to change his opinion as he is his underwear. Because every time the data shows that what you thought was wrong, you should change what you think. And in the medical community, that's considered a virtue. Okay. If you think A and the data says A is not true, but B is, then you change your mind. In politics, changing your mind is considered bad. You know, you're supposed to be right and you're supposed to be right from the beginning and you're never supposed to let your opinion change. Which is crazy. What you should be doing in politics is to say, we thought this, we were wrong. Now, those are words that politicians almost never want to use.
Right. That's right.
I was wrong. We now know that what we thought then is not true. Let's change what we're doing. Very difficult for politicians to do.
Like shutting down the schools.
Like shutting down the schools. You know, the Scandinavian countries opened their schools up on April 15. You realize that?
Yes.
We are now at the end of May. They've been open for a month and a half. Their parents can work because the schools are open. All right. They were only shut for about a month. And then they realized that what they thought when they shut the schools wasn't true. So the Scandinavian politicians changed what they did. We've still got our schools shut, even though we now know that this is not H1N1 flu. H1N1 flu killed children. COVID-19 does not. Almost never. Okay. Your children are at higher risk from their bicycle or their scooter or their skateboard than they are from COVID-19. So reality, schools should be open. They should be open right now.
Yeah.
We should open them for the summer school. We sure as hell should not still be debating what are we going to do in the fall. For goodness sakes, get the kids back in school. They're safe. You do hear this thing about the the polycystic autoimmune inflammatory process. Every virus can trigger that. That is not new. That was discovered back in the 1960s. We called it Kawasaki disease back then. And it could be caused by Epstein-Barr viruses. It could be caused by influenza. It can be caused by any number of things. And yes, it can also be caused by COVID. But COVID doesn't seem to be any riskier for our kids than any other virus they're exposed to on a regular basis. So I would, I'd say let's open the schools. If we get a flare, we should not shut everything down again. And that's one of the bits of anti-science foolishness I keep hearing. Well, we have to be careful because if there's a second resurgence, we're going to have to shut everything down. No, you don't. We now know that's not necessary. People who didn't shut their entire community down did just as well as the people who did.
Yep.
What you have to shut down is the people over 65. Old people, fat people, diabetic people, people with cardiovascular disease need to go into hiding. The rest of the society can go to work and live their life. So, you know, this thing of shutting the whole world down, it seemed reasonable at the time when we thought this was going to slaughter millions of Americans. We now know that's not true. It only is dangerous to people that are overweight, people with underlying cardiovascular or renal disease. But weight seems to be the one big factor. A person that is significantly overweight, that is a BMI over 25, increases your risk of serious disease from COVID 600%.
Well, it increases the risk of any serious disease.
Almost, it increases your risk of dementia, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis. All of that is true. But if you're, what you're worried about is this, once more, lean makes you healthier. The fatter you are, the higher your risk of dying from COVID, the higher your risk of getting seriously sick from COVID. One of the reasons that age is a concern is that age does decrease your immune response. And the older you are, the higher the chance is you're going to be fat.
But if you're
the higher the chance you've got heart disease, the higher the chance you've got kidney disease, the higher the chance you're diabetic. Hence, old is dangerous because all those other factors are there. If you're old and lean and healthy and muscular, you're at very little risk from COVID. So it's not just age.
Interesting.
Right. My rant for the morning.
Well, that wasn't a rant. That was just good, solid.
That's based on the science and the data. That's what we know now that we didn't know before. And I'm not going to be critical of the guys who decided to shut everything down because at the time they made that decision, that was what we all understood. That was the truth as we knew it. We now know we were wrong. Okay, we should change what we do.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, hey, we've got time to take a call before the first break, but let me quickly say that somebody has called in. They heard Dr. Dan Nelson last hour. They've called in, and they want to know where his webinar is and what time it's today at 3 o'clock at conqueringyourpain.com. It's a webinar on pain, in particular back pain, but all kinds of pain. So just simply go to his webinar, go to his website, excuse me, conqueringyourpain.com, and it's at 3 o'clock today. You just register there and bing, bang, bong, you can watch the webinar. Okay, conqueringyourpain.com. Let's go to Montlake Terrace and talk with Fred. Hello, Fred. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Nice to hear you again. Two things. First thing, you were talking about politicians, and there were three fellows talking, and some of them got on the subject of politicians. One of them said, politicians are idiots. And the other one said, you know, I really wish you wouldn't say that. It's really disrespectful. So the other fellow looked at him and said, I'm sorry, were you elected or are you a politician? He says, no, I'm an idiot.
That's right.
Anyway, I enjoyed your little bit about making what choices, when you know you're wrong, okay, that was right. What do you do when the facts change? I change my opinion. What do you do, sir? I think there was an economist. I think it was Keynes who said that. All right. Yet my question is about A1C. Could you talk a little bit about this test? It has to do with the sugar, and it seemed like something about the time span is related in A1C, please.
Okay, sure. Hemoglobin A1C is a measure of the percentage of your red blood cells that have been damaged by sugar. Okay. There's a lot of sugars. The sugar we're talking about is called glucose. Glucose is the fuel that every cell in your body burns to stay alive. It's like glucose for your body is like gasoline for your car. Okay. You burn it to stay alive. So you take the glucose, you eat, your body takes whatever it is you've eaten, breaks it down to glucose. The glucose goes into your bloodstream. You then raise your insulin levels. The insulin is a transport molecule that grabs the glucose and carries it into the cell where it goes to the mitochondria. The mitochondria are where the glucose is burned to produce the energy for life. So blood sugar is critically important. Here's our problem. We are not carrying that sugar to our cells in the stainless steel pipes. It is being transported in living tissue. And glucose is a fuel. It burns. It oxidizes tissues. So the more glucose in your tissues, the more tissue damage you get. All right. So this is a real example of Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine. Anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. The glucose is critical for life, and yet it is damaging every tissue it touches. So you have to be able to repair the damage as fast or faster than it's being damaged by the glucose. All right. As that glucose is being transported through your bloodstream, one of the tissues that is damaging is your red blood cells. It's damaging the walls of your arteries and is damaging your red blood cells. Those red blood cells live an average of about 120 days. Okay. When you get old and fragile, they die a little sooner. When you're young and robust, they live a little longer, but about 120 days, the average lifespan of a red blood cell. By measuring the percentage of your red blood cells that have been damaged by glucose, we call it glycolysation. Glucose has glycolysated the red cells. We can now tell you what your average blood sugar has been over the course of the last 3 months or so. It doesn't tell me your peak. It doesn't tell me your valleys. It tells me what your average has been over a long period of time. But when we're looking at tissue damage in people's systems, the average over a long period of time turns out to be a very important number. All right. The normal range for a A1C is from 4.4 on the low end to 6.5 on the high end. If you are over 6.5, you are by definition a diabetic. Okay. Diabetics have glycolysated more than 6.5% of their red blood cells. The lower your level, the closer you are to that 4.4, the safer you are. And let me give you an example. If your A1C is 5.2 or below, let's use that at your baseline, okay? That's the baseline, the safest level for that level. At that level, you are killing about 0.25% of your brain every year, because you're killing brain tissue, every living cell. If you take that A1C up to 5.6, which is still normal, you've increased the rate of brain cell death by 50%. If you get that up to about 5.9, still normal, you've doubled the rate at which you are losing brain cells. So, and if you get it up over 6.5, you get up into the diabetic range, your risk of dementia is rising exponentially. Okay. So, and that's just one example. Sugar kills brain cells. It kills heart. It kills muscle. It kills bone. It destroys tissue. And yet you have to have it to live. First rule of medicine. If it does good, does bad. So we're looking at the balance. We're trying to find the levels that provide you the most benefit with the least damage. And what we're finding is an A1C 5.2 or below seems to be your safest range. Anything over 5.2, you're starting to do damage a little faster than is necessary. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's great. But you said A1C normal 4.4 low and 6.5 high. So
right.
Is it the best thing to do is to get it as low as you possibly can?
Yeah, in our clinic, my goal is to keep everybody 5.2 and below.
And there you have it. Fred, we got to go. The music's playing. We've got to do our break. But that was a good call. And Jerry, great job. That was excellent. All right. That opens up a line. In fact, we have three lines open right now. If you've got a question for Dr. Mixon, call us at 1-888-312-5757. 1-888-312-5757. Hey, all you have to do is call and boom, we will get you on the air with your question and you'll get an answer. 1-888-312-5757. A quick little reminder, at around 10:30 today, we're going to have Dr. Michael Gilbert with us, and at 11:30, we'll have Dr. Brian McKay with us from Advanced Cosmetic and Laser Dentistry. Lots of reasons to stick around. Don't go far.
Born to be.
And I have been listening, so you guys are absolutely delightful. The three of you make this perfect gem. We are planning to become patients very soon, and we love the information that Dr. Mixon conveys. It can't be found anywhere else.
By your side, satisfied, through and through, 'cause I was born to be with you.
23 minutes past the hour, you're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Pete Talbot, and standing in the studio with me again today, looking down on me, which he often has to do because he's 6'4".
<That's right. laughs>
But especially now, I'm sitting, he's standing, is Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder and chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinic. And for all of you new listeners, we've got three clinics throughout the Puget Sound area, one in Tacoma, one in Linwood, and one in Kirkland. We have you surrounded. And, oh, I'm probably only going to mention this once today here on 570 KVI. As you know, if you're a regular listener, we make available at Longevity and have been now for almost 2 years a free health analysis appointment. We used to do like anywhere from 3 to 6 seminars a month. And we did that for like almost 21 years. But we're really not doing seminars anymore because we've decided, hey, we'll do a free health analysis appointment where you get 2 free tests, including, by the way, the A1C test that, isn't that the one that we give?
We do. Well, we do an A1C as part of the HA, yes.
Yes, part of the HA, along with the special in-body test. So mm-hmm. with the free health analysis appointments, you get those 2 tests free so that you can understand what some of your basic health risks are in your specific aging process. So that's cool. But we've also lately been making available $100 of longevity supplements available too when you come in for a free health analysis appointment, and a couple of free masks because we bought a bunch of those for you. Mm-hmm. Nice little gift. People really appreciate those. Okay, well, here's the deal. We basically don't have any more for the month of June, with the exception we have just 9 in Kirkland. Now, that was true 2 hours ago when I first announced it, when we got on the
air. We don't know if there's any left.
We don't know. There could be one or two or three or four. We just don't know. But if you want to go right now, I mean right now, go to lmclinic.com. Push on the little tab right there on the homepage for scheduling your own appointment and check it out. Maybe in about 10 days or so, we will open up some of July, maybe the first week of July. But right now, if
June
you
is about filled.
Well,
June is filled for Linwood. It's filled for Tacoma. And we've got a few left. Maybe. We don't know how many in Kirkland.
Yeah, hopefully a few. And for those of you procrastinators who are pounding the table and say, ding, dang, dong, I was going to do that. Well, you
yeah, ding, dang, dong.
Ding, dang, dong.
Everybody says that.
Well, okay. Yes.
I got to tell you, in 73 years, the only person I have ever met who says ding, dang, dong.
That's okay. Then go to lmclinic.com. I'm accused of all kinds of things around here, but hey.
Listen, as accusations go, ding, ding, dong is one of the more minor, benign sort of things, yes.
Go to lmclinic.com and snag one of those health analysis appointments. I promise you, you will be so glad you did at lmclinic.com. Okay.
And if you're lucky enough to get the appointment, you can say, ding, ding, dong.
I'll get you. You know I'll get you back. Let's go and talk with Gordon here in Kirkland. Gordon, welcome to the program.
Hello, Gordon.
Hi there. I had a question about antioxidants for helping with varicose veins. I think I've heard you say in the past that alpha-lipoic acid and astaxanthin can help with varicose veins.
Not really. No. I wish that was true. No, varicosity is
misunderstood.
All right, let me explain what's happening with varicose veins. Okay, a true varicosity. Your veins are. Well, let's see. How do I put this? Let me start with your heart. Right. Your heart pumps the blood out through the aorta, which is a great big thick artery, very muscular, and then it then divides into smaller and smaller and smaller arteries until finally you get down to what's called the arteriole. And the arterioles are such tiny, tiny arteries that the red blood cells go through one cell at a time. And they go then into the capillary beds. And the capillaries are little vessels that are have such thin walls that gases, carbon dioxide and oxygen, diffuse through the walls of those tiny capillaries into the tissues. And that's where the gas exchange is takes place. That's where you oxygenate your tissues. Then it moves into the venules, the small veins, and those veins then coalesce to bigger and bigger and bigger veins as they are returning the blood to the heart. All right? So, when you've got blood providing nutrition to your feet and your legs, that blood has to go into the veins now and come all the way uphill, because you're standing and sitting. It has to fight gravity to come all the way from your toes all the way back up to your heart. Now, that's a long, tall column of blood that weighs a lot. So, and the veins are very thin. Very thin-walled, low-pressure sort of system. So what the good Lord did is he put a series of valves in the vein. And the valve allows the blood to flow up towards your heart, but not fall back down towards your feet. Doesn't let gravity pull it down, right? And so you've got these valves every few inches in your veins as they're forcing the blood to move up towards the heart. Your muscles act as pumps. When your muscle contracts, it squishes the vein. The valve won't let the blood go backwards down, and so it pushes the blood upward towards the heart through the next set of valves. So you've got this system in which the muscles are pumps moving the blood, and the valves are making sure the blood moves in the correct direction. Now, as we age, time and gravity and wear and tear, those valves start wearing out, and they leak. And now what will happen is, instead of a few inches of blood column, when a valve gives way, you now have twice that much. And that puts a lot more pressure on the vein, on the valve below it, which causes that valve to collapse. And now you've got three valves worth of blood supply. And that puts even more pressure on the one below it, and that valve gives way. And as the valves are collapsing and giving way with age, you've now got a lot of heavy blood pooled in those veins downhill. The walls of the veins are very thin. They're not very muscular. And so they stretch. And you end up with these stretchy, big, bulbous veins. And we call those varicosities. That's what a varicose vein is.
Okay.
It's a vein that has been stretched out by the column of blood due to the failed valves. And you see these wiggly, tortuous sort of vessels. And that's because they're basically stretching out. They're stretched out spaghetti under the skin. Okay. Now, the danger of varicose veins is, of course, as they're stretching and pressure is getting put on those veins, it can hurt. You know, because you're getting abnormal pressure sideways on veins that aren't designed to stretch sideways. And if you're looking at the big veins deep in your legs, those deep veins can actually pool blood so long that it starts to clot. And you form blood clots in your veins. And if those blood clots break loose, they can travel up to the heart, get pumped out, cause a pulmonary embolism by blocking off part of your lung, which can kill you, or can get pumped through the heart, out through the arterial tree, and cause strokes. Okay, so varicose veins can be dangerous, but it's mostly the big central veins that cause that problem, not the superficial ones you can see. Now, once you know the mechanics of it, any idea how an antioxidant is going to fix a stretched out vein that's been stretched out over the course of the last 60 years? It can't. Okay. It can cool off the inflammation. It might help it to not hurt and get as red and swollen, but it doesn't fix the mechanical disorder of a stretched out vein. Does that answer your question?
Well, I've been taking the natural form, the RALA form of the alpha-lipoic acid, that seems to be helping with the swelling. Would that
absolutely.
Something it could help with?
Yeah.
Alpha-lipoic acid.
Yeah, alpha-lipoic acid is a very potent anti-inflammatory. And it also helps to improve the endothelium, the lining of the blood vessels, to make them smoother to help with blood return. So that's a benefit too, yeah.
So with the varicose veins, at least it can help with some of it probably then, right?
Yes, right. And what I would tell you, if they're uncomfortable, get a good support hose. Those support hose squish the vessel. They push it closed so it can't stretch out. And the combination of the alpha-lipoic acid and the compression stockings will probably make you much, much more comfortable.
Would the astaxanthin also be a help?
Any and every anti-inflammatory and antioxidant is going to be of some help. Yes.
Well, now if I added the astaxanthin, I'm taking natural form of the alpha-lipoic acid. If I also added the astaxanthin to it, like I was thinking 12 milligrams of the astaxanthin, would that be too much or would it be
No, okay? 12 milligrams is fine. In fact, the astaxanthin improves muscle contractility. It makes your muscles function better, and those muscles contracting act as a better pump to move the blood back towards the heart.
And with that, we're going into a break, whether we like it or not. And thank you for the call, Gordon. Hope that helps. I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert with Northwest Vision Institute. He is on hold, and he is next. And that means if you've got a question for him, this might be a good time to call in.
So anybody that happens to have eyeballs should listen carefully and call Michael if you have a question.
That's it at 1-888-312-5757. We'll be right back.
I definitely would recommend that people attend a seminar It was a great overview of what he does, but the real results are in the program, and that speaks for itself. The results came almost immediately, and they've been getting better and better.
All right, we've got a, I never quite understand why people don't want to talk on the phone with
know.
You. Like, it's not difficult.
I'm such a vicious, cruel.
I could tell you stories. Anyway, we have a random off-air question. That's how it's phrased here. Mike in the studio, our call screener, says, this person wants to know, can Dr. Mixon start selling green tea so I can feel as good as he does? yes.
Okay.
Every once in a while, you do your little rant about green tea.
You know, mystery listener, my CEO a few years ago wanted us to sell green tea. And I went and did a literature search.
Okay.
Because if I was going to sell green tea, I wanted to sell a green tea that had the highest levels of ECGC,
right.
Epigallocatechin gallate, which is the ingredient that seems to do most of the benefit in green tea. And so I looked at it. I looked at all of the suppliers around the world, who comes up with organic teas, who does the best testing for, you know, for pesticides and heavy metals and so on, because where, depending on where it's grown, it can have all sorts of things. Do you know what the best green tea that I was able to find was? It wasn't any of the fancy brands. It wasn't any of the things sold by Starbucks and Peet's and all these other companies. It was Lipton. Lipton. Lipton green tea that cost, I don't know, maybe a nickel a bag, had the best ECG and the best profile. And I can't compete with Lipton.
He could make millions, I tell you. Oh, my golly.
So, yeah. So when I did all that research and I said, okay, the best green tea I have found anywhere on the planet is Lipton. All right.
There you go. We've got things we've got to do right now. Maybe later in the show or next week or what have you, we'll let you do your green tea rant and the science behind and the importance, the real value. Wow. Somebody once said around here, I can't remember who it was, if you ever get cut, you're going to bleed
green tea.
You drink it all day long, every day. We all know that. Okay, hey, I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert on the line. Michael, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, it
good
is
morning,
always
sir.
An informational-packed morning, from zombie cells to varicosities, from diabetes and all, but Lipton green tea, Jerry.
Who'd have thunk?
You know, yeah, like
I figured it's the cheapest in the market. It can't be very good. I was wrong.
Oh, my gosh. I have to set aside my loose leaf and now go buy some Lipton tea bags. Ugh.
Well, actually, here's the thing, okay? In my house, we don't use Lipton, okay? Because that was the one that I found that was best. But my wife is Chinese, and when she comes home from China, she comes home with a suitcase of all kinds of fancy green teas. And that's what we end up using. What are you going to do? Happy wife, happy life.
That's right.
So. That is.
Hey, Michael, I am happy for you, guy, because Northwest Vision Institute is open for business, right?
Not just open. It is such a great joy. You know, I have found that our patients really have been quite anxious, not only to get out into life, but to get back and take care of their vision. I think vision has been one of the things that has suffered from our shelter at home, not only those people who need for medical reasons, but frankly, there have been some aspects of the sheltering that have actually been damaging to people's eyes and vision. vision. And so we have patients anxious to be seen and helped. Yesterday is our favorite day at the clinic because we get to see our post-op patients from Thursday. And, the patients come in, and the most common thing they say is, "I'm sorry, I waited." The other is that all there is? When can we do the second eye? So I am so blessed to be doing something that is not only a miracle, but the results, the benefits can be so quick and so tangible. People have been putting up with vision that they're not happy with. And that's another interesting thing that I think about the sheltering. It's given people a lot of time to think. And many are coming out saying, "I don't want to live with this, my decreased vision, the way it has been. I want to get it fixed." So we've taken a lot of extra steps, of course. We were amongst the first to be checking temperature and we have no waiting room anymore, which my patients love because they move through a little faster. You're not supposed to sit down. We get you from here to there. You're in one room generally, unless there's some testing, but we use the virtual waiting room. You're called into the office when you're ready to be seen and moved on through. But whether for surgery or just to be seen and work on things that you need, it's great to be able to see patients and help them out again.
Yeah, like I'm coming in, I don't remember right offhand. I think I had to reschedule here this last week, but I was told that I will wait in the parking lot and call.
Yes. The nice term of that is we call that a virtual waiting room. I like that. It sounds so much more high tech than we're going to make you sit in your car.
Yes, it does.
Anyway, and then when they're ready, so you call them when you pull into the parking lot, and then when they're ready to see you, boom, they call you. You come right in, and bing, bang, bong. There's another one, Jerry. Bing, bang, bong.
Bing, bong, bong.
So good. Now, the reason I texted you earlier and asked you to come on is in the last two or three weeks, I don't think you weren't available last Saturday, but we had a couple of people who were told that they've got cataracts in one or both eyes. I can't remember which, a couple of callers. But they were told, "Oh, no big deal. Just wait. When it gets bad enough so that it's really bothering you, deal with it then." And that's always bothered me just a little bit because I've heard that a lot. How do you respond to that when people say, "Oh, I was told I can wait"?
It's a great question, and it's a really easy question for me. What I tell patients is the good news is you don't have to fix it because the vast majority of cataracts won't do damage to the eye. A small percentage will, so very important to have someone look at it. Very small percentage can actually do permanent damage to your vision, but it's a very small percent. So the vast majority do not have to fix it. However, I follow that up by saying the best news is you get to decide, not me, when you want to get it fixed. Because when some people choose to get it fixed before insurance will pay for it because they're not patient, they want to see better, and it's such a powerful operation, waiting is not necessary. But those who do, usually, if you're having any symptoms, then it's covered by your insurance and easy to get fixed, and you get to decide when. For me, I tell them my personal choice was I got mine fixed in my 50s. Could I have waited? Well, I tell them I'm a perfectionist. I want my very, very best vision. Why would I wait? Statistical risk was all in my favor. Once done, it should last the rest of your lifetime. I, as you both know, it's a powerful change, and you don't know. One of the most fun things about that post-op day I was mentioning is that intellectually you know your vision's changed. But it's changed so slowly that most people don't really tangibly notice how bad it's gotten until within 24 hours, you're better than driver's license vision overnight, and you say, oh my gosh, the colors, the clarity, it's all so remarkably better than I expected. And that first week, while they have one cataract done and one not, they're doing the vision salute, where they hold up one hand and go back and forth between the two eyes, saying, wow, the color, the clarity.
Jerry, you went through this, what was it, 5-6 years ago?
Like more than that. Somewhere in my 60s. I forget exactly when.
I remember you telling the story. You were shocked at the clarity once you had your cataract.
The color discrimination.
Am I right on that, about the color shift, Jerry?
Yes. And, you know, mine was... I've worn contact lenses since I was 16 years old. You know, I had the old methyl methacrylate lenses that were like a piece of iron on your eye.
Right.
But, it allowed no oxygen through whatsoever. And then as the years went by, you know, I had accommodated. I'd shifted over to soft lenses and gas permeables and so on. And what I didn't realize was, as I was aging and my lens was yellowing, it was turning yellow. And it was almost as though I was wearing sunglasses 24/7. I just didn't know it. And what made me tumble to this was, we bought a house and I was trying to put these screws up in some draperies. On a drapery hanger way up above, and the light was dim. It was in the evening, and they were black little screws in dim light, and I could not see them. And I had to ask my wife, who is 30 years my junior, to come in, because she could see them with her younger eyes, and she had to do it. And that's when I realized, wait a minute, she can see these. It's like the room is dark to me. So I went and got my eyes evaluated, and I was told, you don't have true cataracts in that you don't have these big dark densities. But what you got is a yellow lens. You're looking through sunglasses all the time. And in dim light, there's just not enough light for you to see. So I had it fixed. We put in the new fancy crystal lenses. And I was amazed at the color change. All of a sudden, white was brilliant white. And yellow and green and blue and red, they all looked different to me. And it took a while to accommodate to the fact that I had never realized I was wearing deep yellow sunglasses all the time without putting glasses on, just because my lens was discolored.
Michael, this comes back to the comment you just made a couple of minutes ago, that when people are in their, you know, the next day or what have you, they're telling you, oh, I wish I hadn't waited this long, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's absolutely right. So the answer to your question is just terribly easy. My personal judgment for myself, my friends, my family, and when I talk to patients, the number one comment is, I'm sorry I waited. And then, when can we do the other eye?
Yes.
And as you remember, Jerry, you've seen my imaging technology. I usually show people how yellow the lens is that they're looking through.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they're shocked because they think their vision, their color perception is still normal.
That's right. And it's not until you replace.
So glacial.
Yes. And when you replace that lens suddenly overnight to a clear lens, wow, the difference is just dramatic. At least it was with me. And of course, the other thing I love about it is that because this crystal lens is actually in where if I practice my accommodation, I now have 2015 to the horizon. But I can read without reading glasses, unless it's tiny, tiny print. But I can read to within about 7 or 8 inches of my nose now, which is wonderful to be able to not need reading glasses and still have good distant vision.
So real quickly now, Michael, people have options as it relates. For example, with cataracts, I guess that's our topic for the day today. People have options regarding lenses, right? And now insurance covers the lens. Is that right? Explain
absolutely
what happens. But Jerry,
and certainly some people want just the basic most implant that the government will provide. In the commercial insurance uses the same lens as a standard, and you can get that basic most implant, and it's very, very serviceable. But what's exciting is optical technology, of course, continues to advance. Every year or two, we get a stepwise improvement in the optical technologies. And just as Jerry was suggesting for himself, he used to be very nearsighted. Without those contact lenses, all he could see was very close. Just classic myopia.
2 inches from my nose. Yeah.
Right. By the way, I treated just such a patient who had only one eye, lost the other one to an aggressive cancer, and he was very hesitant about having me do his only eye. But then I told him, I treat everyone as if that's their only eye. And he said, good, take care of me. We did him. He had driver's license vision yesterday, first day out of surgery. And just like you, Jerry, could not be more excited, especially because he's been living with inch-thick glasses for all of his life.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Implant technologies continue to make strides, improving the quality of vision, distance, intermediate, and near, and now fixing astigmatism. So I think one of the most exciting things about what I get to do is I get to put the prescription from people's glasses or contacts into the eye so they don't have to hassle with it. And once done, should last the rest of their life.
This is cool. This is really good. So I guess my encouragement, because I had my eyes done, Jerry's had his eyes done, and my wife, just about everybody around here lately, and we just encourage you to, why wait? I mean, why wait to have better eyesight and more color? And oh my golly, it's quite exciting. Let me give
what we
you
call the degradation that you were experiencing, Jerry. Rather mm-hmm. than calling it a cataract, we call it a dysfunctional lens syndrome. And that dysfunction begins in your 40s as you start to hold things out mm-hmm. further and further and further. That's the degradation of those collagen fibers in the natural lens losing their elasticity and their clarity. And it just continues in a glacial pace into from your 40s to 50s, and it becomes increasingly affects your vision to the point where ultimately you get to decide when you'd like to see a little better, whether it's for the glare, whether it's for the resentment of the loss of your near vision, whether it's the desire to get out of the darn contacts and get back your distance vision. Well,
I'm going to make one correction.
Yeah.
You said see a little better. No, I see a whole lot better.
Right. It is a miracle.
So, it really is.
Hey, let me just tell you folks. I've joked about this. I have a friend. I'm obviously not going to mention her name. She often listens. I'm hoping not now, but she is petrified. She's got cataracts, but she's afraid of having anybody fiddle around with her eyes. She just got this mental block. And so I am encouraging my good friend, if you're listening, but anybody else who's listening, you know, you're struggling, you're squinting, you're having trouble driving at night, you're having issues in front of a computer. There's no need to procrastinate. You've got Dr. Michael Gilbert. And
Pete, I'm honored to be a source for many people who come who have only one eye or who have had surgery on their eyes before. And not everyone wants to tackle those people. It's my honor and privilege to be able to take care of those people who have the greatest concerns. And I wish my friend who has only one eye and now he's delighted with it could talk to her.
Yes. And the bottom line is, don't procrastinate any longer. You may as well get it taken care of by the very best. And insurance will cover the process unless, of course, now I admit, Jerry, you paid a little more. I paid a little more. My wife did.
Because I wanted the better lenses.
We wanted the better lenses. And so that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
But
And I have to tell you, I did too. You don't get the lenses for free just because you work in the industry, because Medicare calls that inducement and fraud. So I intend to live with it for decades, and I sure wasn't going to have the basic most lens if I could scrap a few nickels together and get one that gives me the very best vision.
Yeah. Anyway, that's always an option. I suggest you just simply go and give Northwest Vision Institute a call at 425-450-2020. 425-450-2020. And can people still make an appointment on your website,
Michael? Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's nwvision.com. nwvision.com.
That we'll might be both in Kirkland and Bellevue.
Kirkland and Bellevue. That's right. I keep forgetting you've got the Kirkland facility. I've never been there. I always just come to your Bellevue place. Kirkland might even be closer for me, but I don't know. Whatever. nwvision.com to make an appointment, or call 425-450-2020. Michael, thank you. I'm so glad I was able to get your attention last night. We texted, and thanks for calling in.
Always good to talk to you guys. Congratulations on a great show.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot,
Michael.
Thank you
for calling in and adding to it.
Adding to it. Always good when we can get you here on the air. All right, Michael, have a good weekend.
Bye-bye, and you.
All right. This reminds me also, just real quickly, go to our website. We've only got a minute. We've got to do the top of the hour break. I think 90 seconds of news or something like that, and then we will be back for the second hour here on 570 KVI. I might just say as a reminder, if you want to listen to this show again, for example, this little segment, this last 15, 20 minutes with Dr. Michael Gilbert, all you have to do is go to our website, lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button at the top of the page. And when you do that, you will find it will list out where we are for 4 hours every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 on one station, and then from 10 to noon here on 570 KVI. Well, it will list out those 4 hours and where we are for each of the 4 hours. But it will also display for you hour by hour for the last year or two, I think, any of the programs. So if you have somebody that you know should listen to what Dr. Michael Gilbert just talked about, well, you have them go to lmclinic.com, push on the podcast button, and this hour, the 10 to 11 on today, you know, May 30th, and they can watch it or listen to it. And so you can always do that for any of these hours, all at lmclinic.com. And today's program will probably be up and available by Monday afternoon. How about that? Hey, don't go far. We'll be back before you know it for hour number two right here on 570 KVI.